hug and greet someone. Just say hello really quickly as we are about to watch a video in a couple minutes. So just please come forward, bring your tithe, bring your offering cheerfully and gladly. Hallelujah. And so at this time, I would love if we could turn our attentions to the screen and watch this Pastor's Appreciation video. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. I hope you enjoyed that so much. And at this time, we also have one more treat for you guys today. So since it's Pastor's Appreciation Day, we typically allow our pastors to rest, because rest is also godly. It's a gift from the Lord. And on the seventh day, even God rested. And so we honor you, allowing you guys to rest. And so we have a special guest speaker today. Someone who is near and dear to my heart, someone who's raised me, and who named me. I have a funny story how I got my name. My name is Noriel, for those who do not know. My father, Elder George Torbert, he was in the military. He served and retired military, and a friend of his was taking people to and from the airport, because back then a car in the military was a commodity, and he had a car. And one day he asked these two young ladies that got into the car, he asked them what their name was. And one of the ladies answered, Noriel. And he said, if I ever have another daughter, I'm gonna name her Noriel. And I've never met another Noriel, but I'm named after somebody. I've never met another one in my life, but I absolutely love it. And I love that I get to share that story with you guys, because a lot of people don't know, you know, having a father to be able not only name you in the natural, but he names me in the spirit as well. Because of who he is, I know my identity. Y'all understand that that's a spiritual principle. When fathers speak over their children, and call them who they are, not what the world calls them, but call them who they are in Christ, they're able to stand boldly and confidently when someone else is calling them out of their name and say, that's not who I am. Child of God is who I am. Daughter of God is who I am. Loved by the King of Kings is who I am. And my daddy told me first. And so I get to tell you today, and out to you, one of my favorite dads on the planet, Elder George Allen Torbert. Come with me. I love you.
God bless you all. Well, the difference is that's my Noriel, and so someone else has a Noriel. But I got the opportunity to, God bless me with my own Noriel, and she is uniquely different. And so I just thank God for everything that is just taking place here at Riverside. God is so amazing. He is, you know, let's celebrate the Lord for a moment, shall we? Amen. Father, we just thank you right now for what you're doing here. We rejoice in you, Lord, always. And again, we say rejoice. And you're conditioning us. You're teaching us, Lord, how to bless you, Lord, at all times, the up times, the down times, the hard times. You're teaching us how to bless you at all times, where praise becomes a reflex for us. That we bless you, Lord, no matter what we're going through, no matter what we're experiencing, whether our pockets are fat or even if we don't have the second nickel to rub together with the first, we are making a commitment to you. Our commitment to you is to bless you, Lord, at all times. It's not about how we feel. It's not about what we're going through. It's not about how somebody's treated us. We're making a commitment to bless you, Lord, at all times. We're going to bless you when the sun shines. We'll bless you when it's raining outside. We'll bless you in the beginning of the storm, in the midst of the storm, at the end of the storm. We will bless you, Lord, at all times. You're raising up such a people here at Riverside. The church said amen.
Amen.
Father God, we just thank you right now, even as my daughter shared, for the man of God. Amen. For our pastors, Jason and Tina Evans. Give it up for them. For their labor of love, for their commitment to us, and just what you're doing right now and the lives that you're affecting. And so we're going to transition into the message because we do want to take this moment, take this opportunity to be able to, we don't get a lot of opportunities like this, so we're going to take a pause from what we normally do, and we're going to honor the man of God. But let's get briefly into the word of God this morning. I want to talk to you guys coming out of 1 Samuel chapter 17. Verses 17 through 29, but I want to kind of give you the prelude in the Valley of Elah, and just going to sum up a few verses here. The Philistines invaded Israel through the northern town of Soko in Judah to fight against them. King Saul and Israel and the Israelite army quickly responded to the incursion. In the Valley of Elah, the two armies stood in opposition to each other, with the Philistines atop one mountain and the Israelites atop the other mountain. And as the two armies prepared for battle, the Philistines' champion, Goliath of Gath, stepped out of their ranks. And he was imposing. He stood well over 9 feet tall, folks, probably closer to 10 feet tall. He was also heavily clad in bronze armor from his helmet to his shins, and bronze provided him with both protection and flexibility to fight. And Goliath had a 125-pound scaly coat of armor upon him. He also had a bronze javelin spear that lived in between his shoulder blades, and that was more than enough to spear through several men at once. And if that wasn't enough, he also carried a heavy spear with him, the tip of which weighed about 15 pounds, but Goliath's most imposing weapon was his mouth. This dude could talk trash. That was his most imposing weapon, and that's what he did. The Bible says for 40 days, he entered the battlefield. He stepped out from the ranks, and he called the Israelites' champion out to the fight. He said, listen, I am the champion of the Philistines. You guys are basically just servants of Saul. Came out insulting them. And I'll tell you what I'll do. You bring your best fighter out to fight me, and winner take all. If I win, you become our slaves. If you win, we'll become your slaves. And the Bible says that he openly challenged not just Saul, not just the Israelite army, but he was actually challenging God to a fight. And he did this 40 days, day and evening, 40 days. and the sound of his voice led Israel's even bravest warriors to flee and run and hide for 40 days. There was no man, let the church say man. There was no man that would stand up to Goliath and that challenge, but God heard him. Let's go before the Lord in prayer. Father, we just thank you right now. We thank you for the word of the Lord today. We thank you for the man of God. We thank you for the house of God. We thank you for the people of God. But we thank you, Father God, for your spirit, God, is here most of all. Thank you for what you're doing, God, here at the Riverside, how you are changing lives, God. Father God, we thank you that lives are truly being changed here, God. Father God, we thank you for just even what you're going to be doing, even, Father, in the days and the weeks and the months to come. We're excited, God, about your plan here. And Father God, even as it unfolds, excited most of all, God, to be able to participate in it and to be able to witness it, God. So we thank you for the word of the Lord today. Father God, our prayer today, God, is that it would minister. Lord God, let your spirit speak like only you can speak, Father God. I pray, God, that as the word of God goes forth, God, Lord, let it just speak, Lord, and minister to someone in a special way. I believe that this is a special word, God, special day, special occasion, God. And I believe, Father God, by faith, that it's going to usher us into the next season. Is there not a cause? Is there not a cause? Is there not a cause? Blessed be your holy name. And from 1 Samuel chapter 17, verses 17 through 29, if you would, Reb Dorsey.
Then Jesse said to his son David, take now for your brothers an ephah of this dried grain and these 10 loaves, and run to your brothers at the camp, and carry these 10 cheeses to the captain of their 1,000, and see how your brothers fare, and bring back news of them. Now Saul and they and all the men of Israel were in the valley of Elah, fighting with the Philistines. So David rose early in the morning, left the sheep with a keeper, and took the things and went as Jesse had commanded him. And he came to the camp as the army was going out to the fight and shouting for the battle. For Israel and the Philistines had drawn up in battle array, army against army. And David left his supplies in the hand of the supply keeper, ran to the army, and came and greeted his brothers. Then as he talked with them, there was the champion, the Philistine of Gath, Goliath by name, coming up from the armies of the Philistines. And he spoke according to the same words, so David heard them. And all the men of Israel, when they saw the man, fled from him and were dreadfully afraid. So the men of Israel said, have you seen this man who has come up? Surely he has come to defy Israel. And it shall be that the man who kills him, the king will enrich with great riches, will give him his daughter, and give his father's house exemption from taxes in Israel. Then David spoke to the men who stood by him, saying, what shall be done for the man who kills this Philistine and takes away the reproach from Israel? For who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God? And the people answered him in this manner, saying, so it shall be done for the man who kills him. Now Eliab, his oldest brother, heard when he spoke to the men. And Eliab's anger was aroused against David. And he said, why did you come down here? And with whom have you left those few sheep in the wilderness? I know your pride and the insolence of your heart, for you've come down to see the battle. And David said, what have I done now? Is there not a cause?
And the voice of Mike Dorsey gives us occasion to praise God. I won't forget, Father. I won't forget. I won't forget. I won't forget. Mike approached me and said, is there anything that I could do? I said, Lord, I want to hear the sound of my brother reading those scriptures. And I won't forget. Jesus said that there were 10 lepers. And there was only one that turned around. And every time that I hear the sound of Mike's voice going forward, I'm going to say, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. God is a God of miracles. God is a God of miracles. And while there were others, unfortunately, that lost their loved ones during COVID, God brought Mike back to us. Father, we give you glory. We give you honor. We give you praise. Thank you, Father God. You are so good. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Father God, for Mike Dorsey, the teacher. Thank you for Mike Dorsey, the husband. Thank you for Mike Dorsey, the father. Thank you for Mike Dorsey, the friend. Thank you for Mike Dorsey, Lord, the servant of the Lord. Blessed be your holy name, Father. We give you glory and honor and praise. And this is the point this morning. Each and every one of us has a giant to face. But why face your giant? Because your giant is standing in the way of your cause. You heard David say this. Is there not a cause? My cause is my calling. My cause is my purpose. My cause is my passion. Everyone has a cause. Everyone has a calling. Everyone has a purpose. Everyone has a passion. Your life has a purpose. Every life has purpose. My life has purpose. Your life has purpose. Here's what Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 5 says. This is what God told to the prophet Jeremiah. Before I formed you in your womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I sanctified you, and I ordained you to be a prophet to the nations. Every life has purpose. Every life has purpose. Your life has value. Here's what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 10, verse 30. He says, but the very hairs of your head are all numbered. You are so valuable to God. Here's one of the things that I consider. Jesus said, what would it profit a man if he gained the whole world and lost a soul? Imagine me being able to present to the Lord all the riches and the wealth of this Lord and to bring to him the very planet itself. And he said, but you lost Jason. Souls are that valuable to God. We treat them that valuable here. Every life has purpose. Every life has value. Every life has meaning. In Acts, the 10th chapter, verse 15. So we see Peter goes up to a rooftop. He's hungry, and he falls into a vision. And in that vision, there is a sheet tied in a bow. And as the Lord lets that sheet down upon the earth, it opens up and has all kind of animals that are there for the taking. And he says to Peter, arise, Peter, kill and eat. And this is where you and I come into the picture. Peter said, nay, Lord, I've never eaten anything that is common and unclean. And Jesus said, what I've cleansed, don't call common. We realize, and Peter realized later, he was talking about non-Jewish believers. He's talking about the rest of the family. So there is nothing common about you. You are part of a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people. You're a child of the Most High God. Is that all right? You're a child of the Most High God. And this is why we face our giants. We recognize that each and every one of us has a cause. We have a calling. We have a purpose. There's a reason that God planted us here upon this earth. And David discovered his cause that day. He recognized what God had called him to do. And so the men of Israel said, have you seen this man who has come up? Surely he has come up to defy Israel. And it shall be that the man who kills him, the king will enrich with great riches, will give him his daughter, and give his father's house exemption from taxes in Israel. Then David spoke to the man who stood by him, saying, well, shall be done for the man who kills the Philistine and takes away the reproach from Israel. Too many of us treat our lives like an accident. Your life is not an accident. God created you on purpose. God created you with purpose. We have to stop living our lives as if we're not supposed to be here. Discover your cause, as David did that day in the Valley of Elah. Here's how he responded to the Philistines' champion. He said this. Then as he talked with them, then David said to the Philistine, you come to me with a sword and with a spear and with a javelin, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of armies of Israel, whom you have defied. This day the Lord will deliver you into my hand, and I will strike you and take your head from you. And this day I will give the carcasses of the camp of the Philistines to the birds of the air and the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. Then all this assembly shall know that the Lord does not save with sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hands. Goliath of Gath made the unfortunate mistake of challenging God to a fight. And when God did show up, he defeated him in humiliating fashion. God silenced Goliath with an undersized teenage boy. Squawk, squawk, squawk. Goliath, you talk too much. Squawk, squawk, squawk. A boy killed you with a rock. You talk too much. David hurled a stone, but God killed Goliath. David understood these truths. These are two simple truths. The battle belongs to the Lord, and the victory belongs to the Lord. Amen? The battle belongs to the Lord, and the victory belongs to the Lord. Exodus chapter 14, verse 14 says this, the Lord will fight for you, and you shall hold your peace. The battle belongs to the Lord, and the victory belongs to the Lord. But what a gracious and generous God we serve. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14 says, now thanks be to God who always causes us to triumph in Christ. And 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 57 says, thanks be unto God who gives us. He gifts us, Mama Gail, his victory. What a gracious and generous God we serve, because he'll not only fight our battles for us, but then Jesus allows us to share his victory. Goliath was the first of many enemies. First of the many enemies of Israel that David would defeat, that God would defeat by the hands of David. David said this in Psalm 144:1, blessed be the Lord God. Blessed be the Lord, my rock, who trains my hands for war and my fingers for battle. David recognized that he was doing these things by the hand of the Lord. Your life has purpose. Your life has value. Your life has meaning because the artist that created you designed it with such. Your life is not an accident. That's one of the things that grieves us more than anything else when we see people living their lives as if it's a mistake, as if they're not supposed to be here. Everybody has a purpose. And I will tell you this, like we mentioned before, you have to face your giant, because your giant is standing in the way of your cause. You'd never know it, but one of the things that I struggled with more than anything else was self-pity. I had to kill that giant. And now I recognize that in the wake of that death, I could see that giant was standing in the way of what God called me to do. It's ironic to believe that someone who is always in a good mood, always encouraging people, who is always lifting folks up, dealt with self-pity. But that giant had to be killed. And this is the day you kill your giant as well, because that giant is standing in the way of your purpose. But why pursue purpose? The purpose that you have needs to be something that you are embracing every single day. Why pursue purpose? Because your purpose will push you. Your purpose will protect you. Your purpose will pick you up. When I remember my cause, my calling, my purpose, it will push me to strive harder and embrace challenges. When I remember my cause, my calling, my purpose, it will protect me from careless companions and reckless decisions. When I remember my cause, my calling, my purpose, it will pick me up when I meet defeat and face despair. Jesus is calling us to greater things. John chapter 14, verse 12 says this, most assuredly I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also in greater works. And greater works. We recognize that God has created us for greater things. He's created us to see greater miracles. He's created us to see greater manifestations of his power. He's created us to see amazing things. My cause cannot be revoked, even if I decide not to pursue it. The Bible says this in Romans chapter 11, verse 29, that the gifts and the calling of God are irrevocable. No takesies, backsies. Once God's called you to do something, you got to do it. My purpose provides me with the answers to the existential questions, to the questions regarding our very existence that other people still struggle with. Who am I? I am a man. Genesis chapter 2, verse 7 says that the Lord God formed man from the dust of the earth, and then he gave him mouth to mouth. He breathed into man, and man became a living being. Man became a living soul. Well, where did I come from? I came from God. John chapter 1, verse 3 says this, and the Lord made everything. The Bible says that everything was made through him, and nothing was made without him. Why am I here? I am here for God. Colossians 1, chapter 16 says this, that God, through God, all things were created. All things were created through him and for him. And Proverbs chapter 16, verse 4 says that the Lord God has made all things, even the wicked, for the day of doom. Like others, I can choose to live a life apart from purpose. A life outside of God's purpose is no life at all. A life outside of God's purpose is no life at all. A life outside of your God-given purpose is no life at all. And I've been on the other side. I know what it feels like to go with the flow. I know what it feels like to just follow whatever breeze. Someone said that if you don't know where you're going, any road will get you there. If you don't know where you're going, any road will get you there. But when you have purpose, when you recognize that God has ordained you, like he has Jeremiah, to live a life of purpose, there's a specific reason that you're here. And I struggle with that when I think about the children who were killed as we introduce the Old Testament and the New Testament. But I recognize that their lives, though brief, they served a purpose for the will of God and for the plan of God. And I'll get the opportunity to meet those individuals one day. So their lives, albeit brief, those lives served a purpose. Those who choose to reject the calls of God upon their lives are left to their own devices. Romans chapter 1, verse 28. Karen, you got to be proud of me because I'm sticking with the script. Romans chapter 1, verse 28. And even as they did not, Even as they did not retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a debased mind to do those things which are not fitting. And that God says in those instances is that if it pains you to even think about me, if the very thought of even keeping me in your thoughts bothers you that much, do what you want, where you want, how you want, for as long as you want. And let's see how that works out for you. Yeah, the Bible recognizes that there are people that they have no desire to want to connect with God. Here's the thing that God is for each and every one of us. He's the maker of each and every one of us. And I've just made a decision that I don't want to wait till heaven to meet my maker. I want to meet my maker down here. Is that all right? The plan. How does my purpose serve God's plan? My cause, my calling, my purpose serves a greater plan. Jesus loves his church as a husband loves his bride. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 25, Karen. There you go. Husbands, love your wives. Just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. This is an intimate connection that no sane person would dare interfere with. My call should correspond with the continuing work that Jesus is doing in and through his church. Any cause that conflicts with the continuing work of Christ is Antichrist. Any cause that conflicts with the continuing work of Christ is Antichrist. Matthew chapter 12, verse 30. He who is not with me is against me, and he who does not gather with me scatters abroad. Everything that Jesus is doing on the earth, he is doing through his church. Everything that he's doing through his church. Jesus is doing everything through the church and nothing outside of it. Get this in your head and in your heart. No one can be a part of the cause of Christ and hate his bride. Possible. You can't be a part of Christ and hate the very body of believers that he died to save. Impossible. Impossible. The church is a divine organism, a living body spread throughout the earth, joined together by our mutual faith and allegiance in Jesus, the anointed king. Shout out to Rev Dorsey. My purpose should prompt me to locate and connect with a local Christian church. Your call should deeply connect you to the kingdom of God. Furthermore, I cannot love the groom and have even the slightest distaste for his bride. Jesus is working to beautify and purify his bride, the church. My cause should coincide with the continuing work of Christ and not conflict with it. God is God of government. God is working through local church governments to accomplish his plan for the church. Rev Dorsey, I saw him drinking some water. Ephesians chapter 1. Chapter 4, verses 11 and 13.
And Jesus himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ.
Amen. Amen. Apostles, let the church say plural. Prophets, let the church say plural. Evangelists, let the church say plural. Pastors, let the church say plural. Teachers, let the church say plural. Okay, so there's not just one apostle. There's an army of apostles out there. There's an army of prophets out there. There's an army of evangelists out there. There's an army of pastors out there. There's an army of teachers out there. And so God challenges us that if I have a cause, that if I have a calling, that if I have a purpose, I need to connect, amen, with that fivefold ministry. I need to be connected with the local church. And the Bible tells us why. Because there is something that God's trying to accomplish for the equipping, for the saints, for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ until we all come to the unity of faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God to a perfect man. That's maturity. God wants his entire body to reach a place of maturity. To the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, the process. How can I fulfill my purpose? Prerequisites may vary, but the process is simple. Let's talk first about the prerequisites. The prerequisites are the requirements. So because each of us is taught by the Holy Spirit, our requirements may vary. Jesus may require a thing from me that he is not requiring from you. Jesus may limit you in a particular area and not limit me in that same area. He may limit you from doing something, but he may give me liberty in that same area. This is why I do not preach my convictions. Remember the rich young ruler in Matthew chapter 19, verse 22. The Bible says that when Jesus challenged him to sell all that he had and to come and follow him, he went away sorrowful. But what if the rich young ruler obeyed? And what if he not only obeyed, but then he went out, Mama Gail, and began to teach and to preach to everyone else to sell all their stuff too? No, that was a word from the Word for him. That word was a word from the Word just for him. And sometimes we make the mistake of trying to preach our convictions to other people. So God may be dealing with me in a particular area that he's not dealing with you in that area. And so the only thing that I would say to you is as the Holy Spirit is requiring you to do something, don't go look. And we do this. This is how religion is formed. So maybe God doesn't want you to wear pants. But that may not apply to every woman in the house. Anybody in the room? Yeah, maybe there's a particular reason that God doesn't want you to do something. But we turn that stuff into religion. We'll turn it into a religion. Yeah, because God is speaking to me about a specific thing for a specific reason that in most cases, I know why God doesn't want me to do certain things, but I'm not going to share that. And it's just easier for me. Well, if I can't do it, then I don't want Tina to watch TV either. Is that all right? Yeah. And if I can't wear pants, then I don't want Jen to wear pants. I wear pants. I promise. So the first thing is to recognize that we cannot preach our convictions. There are prerequisites, there are requirements, but there are specific things that God is requiring just of me. And so I'm not going to pass you my notes. The Holy Spirit is your teacher. I give you my notes, Alethea, and you may be studying for the wrong test. Okay? And so just let the Spirit of God speak to you. But let's talk next about the process. The process is very simple. Practice saying yes to God. Practice saying yes to God. Here's what Matthew chapter 22, verse 14 says, and we're going to wrap it up with this. For many are called, but few are chosen. Many are called, but most of us send Jesus to voicemail. Practice saying yes to God. Practice saying yes, Lord, yes, to your will, to your way. Yes, Lord, yes, I will trust you and obey. When your Spirit speaks to me, with my whole heart, I'll agree, and my answer will be Y-E-S. Yes, Lord. Yes, without conditions. Yes, without restrictions. Yes, without dissension. Now, and if you guys have kids, you know what dissension looks like. You send them to bed, and they are outwardly obedient, but you know what they're feeling because they're stomping up the stairs. That's dissension. I'll do it, but I want to communicate that I'm not with it. I'll do it, but I want you to know that I'm unhappy about it. Bible says, serve the Lord with gladness. Serve the Lord with gladness. So I'm communicating my objection. And so I'm obedient, but I'm also defiant. Yes, Lord, without restriction, without condition, without dissension, say yes. And saying yes to God means that you may have to say no to other things. But get into the practice of saying yes to God. Say yes to spending time in his presence. Say yes to discovering your purpose. And here's how you begin to discover your purpose. See, the biggest thing that many of us are beginning to understand is that discovering your purpose really begins by working for your Father. If you go back and you read 1 Samuel chapter 17, David discovered his purpose while actually doing service to his father. It was his father, Jesse, that sent him to that battlefield that day. It was Jesse that sent him to the battlefield to provide lunch for his brothers and even sustenance for the rest of the troops. He was simply being obedient. And if you want to discover your purpose, then you got to get to work in the kingdom of God. You got to get to work serving the Father. And very often people will say, I don't feel connected to anyone. Well, one of the ways to get connected is to labor with us, to serve with us. Know those that labor with you. And we need bakers, we need builders, we need carpenters, we need childcare workers, we need singers, we need media folks, we need cameramen, we need gardeners. We need it all. And you may not necessarily know what it is God's calling you to do right now, but I can tell you that if you put your hands to work serving the kingdom of God here at Riverside, your purpose is going to come into focus. And the church said, amen. Amen. Your purpose will come into focus. You're never going to discover your purpose sitting there. Never. That if you want to discover your purpose, it begins with service to your Father. Yeah, so this is the way it works. We say, God, show me, and then I'll go. God says, go, and then I'll show. Yeah, you'll never discover your purpose sitting there. And there are no non-functioning members of the body of Christ. Everyone has a role. Everyone has a function. Your life has value. It has purpose, and it has meaning because the artist that created you designed it with such. And I remember Georgia Shepherd and Cynthia Pickett. I shared this with Kat. You know, even the things that you don't think are important, here's what I would share with you in closing. Don't diminish your purpose. Don't make the mistake that the feet make. The feet say, because I'm not the hands, I'm not part of the body. Don't make that mistake. You recognize that even the things that you think that are insignificant are important to God. And even as a little child, I remember Georgia Shepherd and Cynthia Pickett. They were my Sunday school teachers, Mama Gail. And I don't remember the names of most of the women that attended Fidelity Baptist Church, but I know those two names, Georgia Shepherd and Cynthia Pickett, to this day. And these are the things that we discount. We think that stuff's not important. But part of the reason that I'm standing here before you today is because of Georgia Shepherd and Cynthia Pickett. So don't discount your purpose. And don't delay your purpose. You can begin pursuing what God's called you to do today. And here's the thing that I would share with you. Let me let you in a little secret. We can close this up. Philippians chapter 2, verse 13 says that it's God that works in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. And so the thing that you are called to do, you're going to be passionate about doing it. You're going to be passionate about doing it. See, it wouldn't be fair for God to give me the ability to do something that I hate doing. And it would be equally cruel for God to give me the desire to do something. Like, why give me the desire to want to sing and I can't and don't not give me the ability? That's equally cruel. But the Bible says in Philippians chapter 2, verse 13, that God gives you both the desire and the ability. That desire that you have, that passion for that thing, that was planted in you by God. And the ability to do it, God's giving you the ability to do it as well. And so the desire to do it comes from God. The ability to do it comes from God. And so as you're discovering your purpose, recognize it's going to be something that you're passionate about doing it. And it's going to be something that you're going to do it, you know, whether someone notices it or not. You're going to do it whether you're getting paid to do it or not. I can tell you that Sarah Kern is passionate about administration. Is that all right? She is passionate about it. Amen. That's why I'm not going to mess these notes up. Amen. But while you're pursuing that, do your Father's service. Do service to the kingdom of God in the meantime. I'm going to close with this. It's a prophecy the Lord gave me. I am the true vine, and you are one of my branches. You are an extension of me. I am touching the world through you. Abide with me. Stick with me, kid, because in the same way a branch cannot bear fruit without the vine, you cannot be fruitful without me. The more fruitful you become, the more you will need to rely on me. I am the Lord of your harvest. 10 are easier to manage than 100. 100 are easier to manage than 300. 300 are easier to manage than 600. Your frustration is simply you operating outside of my grace. Matthew chapter 11, verses 28, verse 29 says this, "Come to me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls." And now the postscript. Hey, did you hear about the 16-year-old that said yes to God? Did you hear about the 16-year-old that said yes to God? Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. And one of the great things about saying yes to God is because that 16-year-old said yes to God, and they kept saying yes to God. I mean, God found a fruitful vine for him. Someone that would join him in ministry. Did you hear about the 16-year-old that said yes to God? You know, God allowed him to bring his children up in ministry. Now his children are serving along with him in ministry, as well as his family. And the 16-year-old that said yes to God, even when the doctors advised him not to be here, he came here anyway. at a time that he was supposed to be convalescing. Did you hear about the 16-year-old that said yes to God? He said yes without restrictions, without conditions, and without dissension. Amen. I want to thank Pastor Jason for continuing to say yes to God.
We got to go to a bigger department. And mom would buy these pants for me, and on the pants it said Husky. And so sometime in the summertime, I went from, being Husky. I don't know how to have been Husky ever since. Just kind of embedded Husky inside of here. Says Husky. Just so we don't keep it real quick. You can hear Christian. That need a strong voice. Now, some of these are from me. Some of these I have heard. I'm not going to tell you the difference. I'll see if any of this, if you can relate. Here's this. God looks too mad at me. I said that on Monday, and God looks too mad at me. Rose, give me this tone right now. I'm out of her, Jesus. Ignored to the very end. And then there was no more resurrection power in the budget. That was the end of that. My kids are going to need therapy at some point in their life. I may or may not be guilty of this one. Warfare and the battles taking place is in your mine. Says that the blood of Jesus speaks better things than the blood of Abel. The blood of Abel cried out for vengeance and justice, but the blood of Jesus still speaks today, and the blood of Jesus cries out mercy. Hey!
Amen. I'm going to invite Elder Rick and Elder Mike to join me. Amen. You guys can just speak from your heart.
Well, just very briefly, we came to this church when it was meeting in an elementary school. I remember walking across this land praying when there were no buildings here. And we left for a couple, 2-3 years, and we came back. Lord led us back. And we were here for about 6 months. And the founding pastor said, Lord's calling me to a different place. And we got this new guy coming in named Jason Evans. And I was aware of who he was. I knew you'd been the head usher and you'd been involved in the ministry. And I didn't know a lot about him, but certainly didn't have any issues with him, because I didn't know him. So I prayed and I sought the Lord. And I said, Lord, you know, if I'm going to switch churches, if you want me to go a different direction, this is an ideal time to make a transition. So what do you want me to do? Do you want me to stay? Do you want us to go? You tell me and I'll do it. I don't have an agenda. I'm open to whatever. And I heard from God. It was crystal clear, succinct. 3 words. Help Pastor Jason. And over the course of, amen. Over the course of 20 plus years now, I didn't always get to help the way I wanted to. But I will say this, there's been many times in my Christian walk where I heard from God and I obeyed and I enjoyed the blessings of obedience. And there's been many times when I missed it. Words cannot express how grateful I am that I obeyed that time. And I stay here to help you, because it's been one of the best rides of my life. God bless you. We'll do this again in another 20 plus years.
Good morning, Riverside. A lot I wanted to say, but I'm going to keep it short. I need everybody to close your eyes. Everybody close your eyes, okay? Use your imagination. You are in a place, I don't care, office, building, house, whatever, and you're sitting at a desk, all right? In front of you on this desk is a piece of paper, an envelope, and a pen or a pencil, all right? And if you have no idea what that is, just imagine in your mind, you're about to grab something with your hand. Those are your options. You're sitting at a desk about to write something, or you're about to grab something. All right? On that piece of paper, I want you to write the letters. Pick up the pen or a pencil and write the letters G-R-O-W. G-R-O-W. All right? Put the pencil down. Fold up the paper. Put it in the envelope. Okay? All right. Open your eyes. So George talked about passion and a bunch of other stuff that was very much in line with the thoughts I had. One of the things I'm passionate about is leadership. You guys have an amazing leader here, okay? Now, leadership that comes in different flavors. I'm talking about kingdom leadership. World leadership is focused on accomplishing the mission, solving the problem, growing revenue, profit, all the stuff that needs to be done to make the world go round. Kingdom leadership is about relationship and salvation and your souls. Pastor was right a couple weeks ago when he talked about numbers. It is about the numbers, because the numbers are the souls that are out there. You are the numbers, right? In the world, a leader will guide you and direct you with the mindset that we've got to accomplish this. This is important, but there are conditions on that. If you're not performing, if you're not learning, if you're not doing it fast enough, I got to kick you off my team. I only need high performers on here. We got to do this, right? We have profits to make. But in the kingdom, there's no conditions. You are the mission. You are the reason the leader is doing what he's doing. Pastor Jason was called when he was young. He answered the call at 16. He's been trained, and he was sent when he took this position to stand up here and be your shepherd. All right? That's the difference between leadership in the world and leadership in the kingdom. You have a leader who has trained you and taught you for years on how to operate in the kingdom. Right? One of his most famous sayings I love to repeat all the time, information without application is an abomination. Remember that. When he stands up here and gives you information, you need to apply it. So today we stand here to honor Pastor Jason and Tina because they're a team and they work together. Working full-time in ministry is not like having a full-time job and then going out and serving on a ministry team. It's vastly different when you are full-time, when your life is ministry. Your kids sacrifice you. Your spouse sacrifices you, not so much in Tina's case because she's right alongside him doing the ministry too. So they both have given up a lot. But when you're full-time ministry, it is your life. And what that means for Pastor and Tina, you are their life. When you're out there living your life at a barbecue, having a good time, he could be in a hospital standing next to somebody with their hand, giving them their last blessing. That's the sacrifice that they make on a daily basis. 3 o'clock in the morning, doesn't matter. The phone rings, they're up and out. That's the call that they answered. That's the sacrifice they make. So we honor them today, not just in money. Money's good. We all need money. But I'm going to challenge you guys because, you know, when I get the mic, I always issue out a challenge. I'm going to challenge you guys. And here's my challenge. Sorry. Here's my challenge. Close your eyes. You're back at the desk. I need you to open that envelope and read that piece of paper. Everybody tell me what that paper says. Proud. Say it again. Proud. One more time. Proud. If you want to honor Pastor and Tina, I need you all to grow. He needs you to grow. There is no reason that you should be in the same state with your relationship with God, your relationship with your family members, your relationship on your job, your relationship with the people sitting next to you that you were in 5 years ago, 10 years ago, 20 years ago, sitting under this leader. You want to honor them? Grow. Spend time in the Word. Spend time in God's presence. Become, as George said, what you were created to be. You have a purpose. There's a plan for your life. Grow. Grow into that purpose. You have been called. Answer the call. Do the work so you can be sent to accomplish your mission. So, Pastor, thank you. Thank you for all the training. Thank you for the guidance. Tina, thank you for everything, working beside you all those years on the worship team. Best times of my life. Thank you. Thank you guys so much. And my work today is to ask you all to honor them by growing. Amen. Grow. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Amen. 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 And before we bring our pastors up, we're going to actually, I think we have some gift baskets that from your Riverside family. We're going to be bringing those out, sitting those out for you to see them. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. 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 Mama Gail, did you hear about this 16-year-old that loves God and loves people? That gave his life for the cause of Christ. Many are called, but few are chosen. Many are called, but most send God to voicemail. And we thank God for the man of God that answered the call of God and continues to answer that call today. Hear about the 16-year-old that holds people in their arms as they're weeping and suffering, prays over them, prays over their children, visits them in the wee hours of the day, gets up, this 16-year-old, praying and laboring in prayer for this very body, this Riverside, this assembly of the anointed, this body of believers, this congregation of Christians, this dwelling of the devoted. Hallelujah. Blessed be your holy name, Father. This man of God, this remarkable 16-year-old, this Pastor Jason Evans and Tina Evans. Stand with me. Let's greet our pastors. Amen. Let's celebrate them. Let's thank God for them. Hallelujah. Blessed be your name, Father. Hallelujah. 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 For Pastor and Gina, Pastor and Tina Evans, Lord, we thank you for them, God, for the incredible, the remarkable, the dynamic, the influential, the amazing Pastors Jason and Tina Evans.
Amen. Thank you all so very much. Thank you, elders, for those kind words. Sometimes it's very challenging for me to hear the how people view us and how people see us. It's flattering, it's moving, but it also makes me feel like I've got to live extra hard I got to measure up to all those things. And but the grace of God and the help of God, I am so grateful, and I am tremendously blessed to be able to stand before this congregation and call you guys my church and my family. And I am excited about what God is doing in our church. I'm excited about what He's doing in our lives. And I'm just going to tell you, I'm going to prophesy, this is just the beginning. The best is still yet to come to this church. Thank you all so much to all of my leaders, to my family, to the staff that has helped me. I can't see everybody. I got to come up here where I can see y'all. Now there's lights. I still can't see everybody. You guys are absolutely amazing, and I am without a doubt blessed beyond measure. I really am. You have done an amazing job honoring Tina and myself and my wonderful family. Thank you all for the privilege and opportunity to be able to shepherd you and pastor you these 21 years now that I've been in this building. Amen. And as my uncle in West Virginia would say, so God willing and the creek don't rise, I'll keep shepherding and pastoring this church for the next 20 plus years to come. Because I feel like there's a great work that still needs to be done. There's still breath in my lungs. I still have a right mind. I've strengthened my body. And I'm going to keep preaching and teaching this word as the Lord leads me. I'm excited about that. Which, by the way, changes next Sunday. Can you guys believe what's about to happen at Riverside Church? I mean, I haven't done this all day. Touch your neighbor and ask them, can you believe what's getting ready to happen? Come on, touch your other neighbor and say, can you believe what's getting ready to happen? God's been so good to this church. We're getting ready to move into two worship services starting next Sunday. The first one at 9 a.m. The second one at 11:15. He'll be playing and singing. I'll be preaching, both of them. The same Spirit of God that'll be at the 9 o'clock will be here at 11:15. It's going to be a tremendous time to see what God's going to continue to do. There might come a time, Wayne, are you in here? We might have to knock the walls down. We might have to stretch out a little bit. But in the meantime, we're just going to have multiple services. There is a rumor going around Riverside, though. I don't know how true it is, but there's a rumor that there might be a third service being added. A Spanish service, perhaps, for all of our Latino Spanish-speaking brothers and sisters. And so we're going to continue to pray about that. Somebody said, are you going to preach in Spanish? I said, I could barely do it in English. We've got professionals that can do it in Spanish. And so, but my goodness, look what the Lord is doing in Riverside Church. Would you just take a look around and see what God is doing? Amen. Thank you all so very, very much. What a tremendous blessing today has been. Thank you all so very, very much for all that you are have done and all that you're continuing to do. Here comes the bookkeeper. What, she's got envelopes. Did you want to say something?
Oh my, I don't need to. Accept this love offering from all your congregation. This is a pastoral love offering from all of us. So we've been blessed to have you as our senior pastor. So you've been 21 years here. I've been 21 years here next to you. So and more to come. I remember the day that I met Pastor Jason. I went to his office and I says, I don't speak a lot of English. And he'd be like, don't worry, I'm for Cecil talking. But that day, God says, you need to use your talents to help them. So I'm here. So thank you. In the name of all of the congregation of Riverside, you establish a culture of honor. And one day you say, you know how heaven's going to look like? Look around. So we honor you today. Thank you.
Thank you so much. Amen. I mean, I don't really have anything else to say other than thank you all so very much. I'm looking forward to greeting you in the lobby. I'll have a chance to run out there and try to greet each and every one of you. Make sure you make plans to come back here next Sunday, 9 a.m. What time do we have to get here, Angel?
7.
What time? 7:30? Okay. What did Sarah's notes say?
I love it so much.
It says, thank you, everyone. Give microphone to Pastor Jason. There you go.
Okay. Very good. There's my baby. Come here, baby.
He said, let me get some of that love offering, brother. You know
what I'm saying? It's
a choice. Hi, baby. I guess.
Hi, toys.
I know. I see. There's toys. I never thought when I started this out I'd be standing up here holding a grandson. We haven't seen anything yet, man. That's what I keep hearing. We haven't seen anything yet. This is just the beginning. It's just the beginning, man. Come on, before we leave, lift those two holy hands. Can I just have church for a minute? Come on, lift up those hands.
Look at what the Lord has done.
Come on, just let that come out of your heart, out of your spirit. Come on, lift up your voices and just give God thanksgiving. Thank you for honoring me as your pastor. But we're going to end this service by honoring the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, honoring our Heavenly Father, to whom all glory and all honor and all praise is due. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
And look at what the